Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
For the second time this season, the Browns faced a team from the AFC South after dominating a team from the AFC North by 21 points. And for the second time this season, the Browns came up short, did not get it done, and I think turned in arguably their worst performance of the season as the Texans beat them 23-7 yesterday at First Energy Stadium. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Juravicius, all with you for the next 2 hours here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. This was a disappointing game. It was a cold game, and it was a game where the Browns had it taken to them physically by a Texans team who ultimately ran the ball 54 times on the day for 213 yards. The Browns could only muster one touchdown. Brian Hoyer setting a team record with 30 incompletions. And quite frankly, it was a game that while it was close at times, it never seemed as close as the score indicated. And the Texans came into the First Energy Stadium, came in the dog pound, and physically beat up the Cleveland Browns. And guys, this is not what any of us had hoped for, but I remember in my pregame hit, I said the Browns need to win the turnover battle. They did not do that. They need to control the line of scrimmage, both offensively and defensively. They did neither, and they needed to really get the ground game going, and they failed to do that as well. So it was 0-3 there. No surprise they lost. But, Matt, a very tough game for the Browns defense, I think, in this one, in addition to the fact that they gave up 213 yards on the ground, in addition to the fact that they let Ryan Mallett complete 20 of his 30 passes for 211 yards, two touchdowns, and one interception. They lose Carlos Dansby potentially. We don't know how long that is, but he left that game. We lose Jabal Sheard as well, and Coach Penn will update both of those injuries. But this was a game that the Browns, at the point of attack, were blown off the ball repeatedly, play after play after play.
It was. It's unfortunate. And I think as you look into the game as analysts, the way we do, it looked, and as we got closer to game time, it looked like schematically and personnel-wise, this would be a game the Cleveland Browns should win and win pretty handily, meaning Arian Foster was ruled out and a untested Alfred Blue would be take a majority of those carries. And then again, an untested quarterback in Ryan Mallett, who has not played pretty much at all in the National Football League. We didn't know what we were going to get.
Four attempts.
But I think what we saw was a team playing physical and a team reeling, trying to match the physicality within a football game. And what does that say to me? That says to me that all week they thought this team was just going to lay down because, as we talked, they're not playing for much in the AFC South with the Colts as division leader. But they came out and they played with a chip on their shoulder with something to prove. They looked as if the cold didn't bother them a whole lot. And the execution, I thought they executed a game plan to a T. As you said, 54 running attempts. Ryan Mallett nickel and dimed us. They took a few shots. They completed on one. They missed on another. But I believe Bill O'Brien had Ryan Mallett ready to play, and they were content moving the chains and wearing us down physically.
That's exactly what they did. And, Joe, the offense of the Browns managing just 7 points on the day. Now, they obviously had an opportunity for more. Billy Cundiff missed a field goal for the second straight week. Isaiah Crowell had that costly fumble down in Houston territory, which may have been a turning point in the game, if not the turning point. But I thought all game long, the point of attack, they were dominated. I thought Brian Hoyer was under pressure quite a bit in this game. His throws seemed errant at times. They had some uncharacteristic drops. Overall, just a tough offensive performance.
Yeah, I think what happened to Brian took some hits yesterday, and anytime you have hits like that, I mean, it's in your head. There's no questions. He took a few poundings. Uncharacteristically, we had some balls that were dropped. I know we lead the NFL. We're one of the best teams at catching the ball in this particular week, and we had a lot of drops. But, you know, something that's interesting here, I think if you look back at the teams we've played the last 3-4 weeks here, that this was probably the most talented team that we've played.
Sure. I mean,
there's some really talented players on this team. And coaching-wise, when you got a Bill O'Brien, a Mike Vrabel, Romeo Crennel, those are some pretty talented people that know how to get a team motivated and play. So I would say that these guys did a really good job of preparing the Houston Texans to come in here and do battle with the Cleveland Browns, and it showed. They won all the phases, even though they had a couple penalties there on special teams, which, you know, at one point gave us some points, and at the other point, you know, we probably should have scored. But these guys, they're just a good football team. I think they're the best thing we've played. And offensively, we didn't do much to help kind of ward that thing off.
No, offensively, the Browns did not, and one of the reasons J.J. Watt continued. We talked about him all week. You knew how good he was. And then when you see him live in person, he is an unbelievable athlete, very imposing presence, a motor that won't stop, as you talked about, Matt. And then for him to go out there and catch a two-yard fade, get his knee inbounds, running it like a receiver was ridiculous. And he played, you know, obviously he scored, that's, by the way, his fourth touchdown this year, J.J. Watt, and he just wreaked a lot of havoc. Brian Hoyer, we talked about the pressure, you talked about the hits. Brian Hoyer was under pressure on 16 of his dropbacks out of 52, 16 of his dropbacks. On those 16 that he was under pressure, 2 of 14 on the day, and he got sacked twice. So you just can't win when you can't make plays under duress. And this offense, off of play action, that's when, again, the passing attack looked decent. As soon as the play action game was gone, it looked awful.
It was, and it was the defensive front's ability to stop our run. We saw Isaiah Crowell. We saw what Isaiah Crowell is capable of in that 35-yard run, but then it was time after time as we tried. And the one thing that I was disappointed in is that, again, as I talked to you guys off air before we jumped on, is, you know, seeing that toss cutback over and over and over again, trying to take advantage of Jadeveon Clowney kind of being a statue there on the backside. That hole, every time we run it, got smaller and smaller, and it didn't look like we had anything to kind of, you know, to rebound, or it's like we game plan to have success with this run, and we're going to stick with it. And as you said, we move forward, and when Brian Hoyer has to drop back in the pocket, the one thing that he doesn't do that I watched, there was at least a handful of times that would have given him more time, is step up in that pocket and climb in that pocket. So there were times where our offensive line did an amazing job of pushing, you know, the right side of the line out and the left side of the line out. It was like the parting of the Red Sea. And Brian Hoyer can climb 2 or 3 yards, but he stands at that 7-yard spot. And you cannot give J.J. Watt, Brooks Reed, Jadeveon Clowney, you know, Whitney Mercilus, and those guys a spot to attack. That is something that, as a former defensive player, you attack a spot. And when you have a quarterback that deviates off that spot, it makes it very difficult. And they hit that spot. They were at his knees, forcing him to throw off his back foot, which led to errant balls, short arm throws, and we couldn't capitalize down the field.
Hoyer was 20 of 50 on the day for 330 yards, quarterback rating 61.3, one touchdown, one interception. Probably got away with a couple again this week that could have been picked off as well. But it was a rough performance for this passing game. And you think about a game where somebody throws for 330 yards. It just didn't feel like that when you were watching. And I think you're right about climbing the pocket. I've said I'd love him to just watch some Phil Rivers tape, your guy in San Diego who climbs the pocket, I think, better than any quarterback in the NFL. Joe, do you think the ACL is a reason that he doesn't like to climb the pocket? Because when you climb, you're moving forward and then ultimately putting all that, you're planting on that leg and trying to drive the football.
Nate, I'm sure there's something to that. I honestly believe that when you have an injury in your head, that pays a big dividend, or at least it's in your thought and why you don't do so well. But we know, we've been saying for such a long time, when our running game gets going, that's when he plays his best. And obviously 58 yards is not cutting it. When you have a team that rushed for 213, we rush for 58, there's nothing. There's no reason for them to worry about the running game because it's being stopped.
Right. And Isaiah Crowell, ultimately, when you look at the stats now, was buoyed by the 35-yard run. 14 carries for 61 yards. He had two catches for 30 yards. So he touched the ball 16 times and produced 91 yards of total offense. That's not bad. That's 5 yards.
You've got to like
time.
That. Yep.
You're right. And the other thing, too, if you're looking at some of the completions, or let's go with the non-completions, I mean, some of those balls were just, they're out in front. They're way too high. I mean, they're just.
They're errant throws.
I don't know if that has anything to do with the knee. I just think that has to do with accuracy. And he was not accurate yesterday, and it didn't help the receivers out. And then, again, receivers had some drop balls on balls that should have been caught, but it just was not a good overall performance by these guys.
It was not a good performance by the offense, and you know, Isaiah Crowell showed why. That was a 35-yard run, the longest run for the Browns this season. He showed what he can bring to the table. I agree with you. You need a little bit of more diversity in how you get the football to him, because what stood out to me quickly and going back watching the game is when they ran it to him, they tossed it to him. When they play faked, they did a traditional handoff and then pulled it back. But I think only one time all day did they actually do a traditional handoff and actually hand him the ball. So
right.
That was kind of a tip,
yes.
I thought, to the defense there. You know, the one play that was kind of set up, though, by all those tosses was the flea flicker. And I thought that was a huge missed opportunity. I thought it was a great play call by Kyle Shanahan. But Brian Hoyer, to my eye, did not look ready to receive the ball. If he knows that he needs the crow hop to get the ball down the field, get yourself set, because he caught it, stood there for a while. while and then took the hit. Travis Benjamin was wide open down the middle of the field. That was a well set up, well executed play, dialed up at the right time against the right coverage. You had Travis Benjamin running literally free down the middle of the field, and Brian Hoyer was unable to get him the ball.
Yeah, very uncharacteristic of Brian Hoyer to not deliver. And as we said, statistically all year long, as you
read, and he did get hit. I mean, he did
get,
but
absolutely,
still.
Exactly. But it's something that we've seen him connect on those down the field throws. He's been, you know, at or around the top in 15 plus yard throws, you know, all season long. So it's very unfortunate, and that's what you like to see, though. You love to have that kind of that avant-garde approach in Kyle Shanahan's eyes of, okay, we've run this, we've set them up properly, you know, to where they're stacking that box because they know they must stop the run to stop this offense, and you take your shot and miss. And that, too, sucks the life out of you as an offense. It sucks the life out of you as a team, and I think the fans, because of that missed opportunity, kind of let that big sigh out, like, we missed an opportunity to put points on the board there.
And let's go back to this ground game, Joe. So Crow, 14 carries, 61 yards, averages 4.4 a pop. Terrence West and Ben Tate combined for 7 carries for 3 yards. So they did not do a great job. I think Crow is clearly the best runner. He's got to take care of the football. Was there something that you guys saw in the way that he holds the football that led to that? I mean, I know Cushing got and punched right on the ball, but is there anything, what can he do to protect the football? Because the other thing about the ground game is, I think, and it's a stat, it's a fact now, the Browns lead the league in negative runs. And there were so many times, the fact that he averaged 4.4 yards a carry is kind of incredible, because there were at least 5 plays where he got hit as he got the ball. What causes those breakdowns?
Well, let's go back to the first one where we're protecting the ball. I mean, I played with a guy named Tiki Barber in New York who was known to put the ball on the ground a lot. And then at one point, Tom Coughlin said no more, and Tiki ended up carrying that ball high and tight, not only on the field, but inside the meeting room. So I think it's got to become part of your being that you've got to learn to hold that ball the proper way, that no matter what, before you start running, that ball's got to be high and tight against your rib cage, the 3 points, you know, the palm, the inside the elbow there, and the crease of your elbow, and against your rib cage. But it's got to be, you know, not even thinking about it. That ball, as soon as you touch it, it needs to go high and tight, and it's got to be protected. That point's got to be protected. You know, I'm glad they gave him the rock. They gave him a little bit of confidence to get back in there and do again and not make a mistake. But when you turn the ball over like that, obviously it kills momentum, turns the ball
over. It's a turning point of the game.
It's huge. So, again, if I'm talking to him, that ball, he's got to have a ball right now. If he walks by us, I'd be shocked if he didn't have a ball.
Right. And my breakdown of Isaiah Crowell's troubles, and I think it's a he is still a rookie, and he's still seizing an opportunity as a runner in the National Football League. And I think that, again, not to name names or to, you know, snowball effect, but I think Ben Tate has some bad habits with the football, carrying it, you know, in that single arm, and in some cases away from the body very early after he receives it. And we see Isaiah Crowell do that. And, you know, where he takes it with the two and immediately goes to one arm before he's even through the line of scrimmage. And I think you see a lot of the best runners. You know, you look at Arian Foster, who we missed out on yesterday, or the league's leading rusher right now. Look at DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray, a lot like Emmitt Smith, carries it two hands hunched over, expecting impact as he bursts through the line. And then, of course, gets shifty, goes to one arm, goes to another. But he doesn't relax at any point. And I think that's what we're seeing, is we're seeing all three guys get carries, you know, which sometimes, as we talked about, none of them get into a flow of a true football game. And then I think they're taking for granted, you know, the fact that, oh, you know, since Ben can do it, I can do it. And they're creating bad habits for themselves.
You're right. And when you talk about two rookie running backs, and we'll go to Crow, when you're getting the handoff behind the line of scrimmage and getting ready to tote that ball, you know, you have so many things rolling through your head. Well, the first thing that needs to be there, and it comes with being a veteran, is that ball needs to be protected.
Yep.
Then you can do everything else. So I would say that for him, that ball's got to be held high and tight. Just like you said, Matt, that ball's got to be covered with two hands. But you're not good enough right now to start toting that ball through a line of scrimmage with guys like J.J. Watt, Clowney, with big boys, Cushing coming through there. You're not good enough right now to be holding the ball like that. So take care of it, and it's going to take care of your job if you start protecting the ball.
No question. As we keep rolling here, we're going to continue to break down this game. Our Ohio Business Machines Hot Topics of the Day are, what did you see in this game? What concerns you the most about the Browns going forward? Are the Browns a playoff team? Why or why not? Make your argument. Does anybody deserve a game ball after yesterday's performance? And also, how much can Josh Gordon help this football team? And should there be a primary ball carrier going forward, or should the Browns kind of play it week to week? We've got that. We've got the roundtable at 1:45. We got sound bites from inside the locker room at 2:00. Three topics with Gerard Cherry at 2:30. And you, 216-578-0850. Let's get into the discussion. Let's break it down. What did you see that caused the Browns to have this unbelievably bad performance against the Houston Texans and lose this game 23-7, where they were beaten really and truly in all three phases of the game? Basically the exact opposite of what we saw down in Cincinnati last Thursday. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Jurevicius with you here on ESPN 850 WKNR.